So you may remember over the past few times I've shared, we've been thinking about hearing. One of my daughters this morning at breakfast said, "Dad, how do you actually hear Jesus?" Because I'd been saying, "Could you pray for me? I've got to speak. I need to know what the Lord wants me to say." And she said, "How do you hear what he says?" So we had a brief discussion and I just gave her a recap of what we've been sharing together. So just very briefly, this is by no means comprehensive, but we've talked about Christ, the living word, the scriptures, the written word, the word of God shared among his people, and that can be a really broad thing in word and deed, communal word, the word of God through creation, because he spoke everything into existence. I like to think of that as his artistic word, and the word of God through our circumstances, which we could think of his providence in our lives. Now that's by no means comprehensive, but it helps me because it's five areas on the one hand. So the point of that is, I hope you can see that God is rich in his provision, and he's made it possible for us to be in communication with him, for him to speak to us in a whole variety of ways, and for us to be able to hear him, which is absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To think that we who were so utterly lost and dead, deaf, blind, are now alive. We've been made alive together with Christ. How wonderful. And he communicates with us. Praise God. Now this morning, this may seem initially when I introduce it a little bit, possibly like it might be a little bit heavy. But I believe that in God's faithfulness and in his, can I use this phrase, parental responsibility, he, as well as teaching us and guiding us and leading us, as part of that, he warns us. I don't know if any, well, I know some of you are parents here, but especially when you have little children, I've realized that part of my responsibility as a dad, not just this, but part of it, is to be willing to give clear warnings. Now, obviously, age-appropriate ones, but warnings. Now, we can read, if you remember, in Colossians, don't turn there, and I'm not going back there, don't worry, just yet. But in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul says this, "Him we preach." Now, I love that. I love the fact that this morning, the central focus has been him. We're looking to his return, aren't we? We're remembering his death. We're proclaiming his death. We're thanking him. We're thanking the Father for giving him. He's the focus, isn't he? "Him we preach," says Paul. And then he says this, "warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus." So can you see there, that's an amazing verse. Him we preach, that's the focus. But as part of the preaching of Christ, there's this element, Paul says, of warning. And if you read the scriptures, thinking about this, you'll realise there's a whole load of warnings. And I just want to go through three this morning with us. And it's particularly, if you can remember back, it's particularly in relation to our hearing, and linked with that, the state of our hearts. Okay? So we're going to look at three specific warnings, and it's in relation to our hearing of the word of God and the state of our hearts before him as we hear. Okay, so what I'd like to do is just turn to Hebrews. I was really interested when Peter was there last week, because I'm going to have a brief look in chapter 3 as well. But before that, can we just turn to chapter 2? Which starts with therefore. And not that long ago, one evening, Nathan was speaking and he reminded us that Ron, back in Reading, would always say, "What's the therefore, therefore?" Yeah, which is a good if you're cutting into a context, it's important to look what comes before. Essentially, we've had in chapter 1, in the New King James, you'll have a little heading, God's supreme revelation. It's just this wonderful, clear declaration of who Christ is and what he's done, and that he is incomparable. And he's God's final word. And he has accomplished the work once and for all. In fact, he sat down just to prove it's a job done. Finished. Glory to his name. So the focus is Christ. Far superior. Superior to all the previous speakings of God through the prophets. Superior to the angels. Superior to anyone. Superior. The preeminent one, Christ, glory to God. The revelation of God, we heard it in prayer. The outshining of the Father. That's why I put Christ the living word as number one in my thinking in regard to God speaking. So then we've had that in chapter one. We're not going to dwell there this morning because I want to get to these three warnings specifically. So at the beginning of chapter two it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. See there? We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we, and here's the first warning. It's the consequence. This is why there's the warning. Give earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest you, and here it is. In the New King James it says, drift away. Okay, warning number one, beware of drift. I'm being serious, I'm so nervous this morning. I said, oh dear, Chan, pray for me. I even got the kids on board, pray for me. Dad's feeling nervous. But with all my heart, I want to do this in faithfulness to the Lord. I believe the Lord, in his love for us, his children, is giving us these warnings. Beware of drift, my friends. Beware of drift. In the King James Version, it's got it a slightly different way round. I think it says, I think I wrote it down, if you've got a King James, it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let, and by implication them, as in the things we've heard, slip. Now, in the New King James, you get the sense of lest we drift away from the things we've heard. So here's the word, which we've seen, hopefully, clearly, is Christ, essentially. Revealed in the Holy Scriptures and all the other aspects. But the word of God, the final word, the ultimate word, the wonderful, rich, life-giving word. Okay? And we're able to hear the word. Beware, and in the New King James, lest we drift away. So we're moving, this distance becoming, distance appears between, essentially, Christ, his word, and us. In the King James translation of it, the perspective is, there's the word, and we let the word slip. It's a sense, like it slips out of our grasp. So, it, almost like you're here, and the word, you know, you hear, but you just let it go. Whichever way you look at it, the point there surely is beware of there becoming a distance between you and Christ. Is that fair to say? Beware. Listen, this whole idea of drift, in my mind, it links in with thoughts of erosion. Now, I hope you know that erosion tends not to be a sudden crisis event. I mean, it, obviously that can happen. And in our lives, the big proportion of our lives, maybe you have a really, you know, life full of great events. I don't think we tend to go from one great event to another great event. No disrespect, Chan. We live a normal life, don't we? Most of us. Yeah, you do have like big landmark moments, but most of life is day to day, and it's made up of hundreds, thousands of choices, ordinary choices. You know what? This thing of erosion, this thing of drift, it seems to me, tends to happen over a period of time. This is one of the enemy's favourite ploys. The slow, subtle, secret, hidden process of erosion. And then one day, you wake up and you think, what on earth happened to me? Well, it didn't just happen that day, my friend. Beware of drift. Beware of erosion. Beware of letting things just slip away.
In the margin, it's got run out of leaking vessels.
There you go. Isn't that interesting? Thanks, Maureen. Feel free to jump in at any point, but that's wonderful. Do you remember what Andrew said about the vessel? We're the vessel. Allow the Lord to fill us. That's a wonderful image, isn't it? What the Lord speaks into our lives, even on a morning like this morning. It's crucial how we hear and what we do with what we've heard. So warning number one is drift. Listen to this, you don't have to turn there. Strangers have devoured his strength, but he doesn't know it. Grey hairs are here and there on him, and yet he doesn't know it. That made me smile, but it's very serious. Just so we're clear, I'm fully aware of what's going on. Just here and here. It's fine, I'm okay with it. Listen, strangers have devoured his strength and he doesn't know it. And the context here is regarding the slow backsliding of Israel, and specifically Ephraim, whose name means doubly fruitful. So his God-given purpose was to be doubly fruitful. And here we have his strength has been devoured. Now, devoured sounds like a pretty instant kind of critical thing, but grey hairs appearing here and there. I mean, sometimes it can happen quicker than you'd hoped, but the point there is not being aware. Unaware that strength is draining. To use Maureen's margin, the thing's leaking out. We're letting it slip away. We're drifting. Can you hear the warning? Paul says somewhere else, you have to remind me, I was trying to remember it this morning, it just came to me. Beware, lest you, what's that, lest you, along the line of saying, oh yeah, we're standing, lest you fall. 1 Corinthians 10. Take heed. There's a warning again. I can't remember the quote now. It's 1 Corinthians 10. Dave will just look that up for me. It's great. Maureen's in on this. Dave's in on it. Anyone else? We're all friends, aren't we? Please don't think sermons are just one way. Not at all. Even if you don't get involved like this, your hearing is crucial even to how I speak. Your heart state is crucial even to what comes out of my mouth. If you're hungry, if you've got a passion for the Lord, I tell you what, the preacher may not be aware, but the word comes. Praise God, we're all in this together. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 10. Thanks, Dave.
He thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall.
The man who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Isn't that interesting? Now, just a note here, I'm going to read a little prayer for drifting ones in a moment before we move on to warning number two. But just a note here, this warning about drift is not, in my view, referring to somehow clinging on to the past for fear of compromising or for fear that we've moved away from a certain way or whatever. I don't think it's regarding that. It's talking about dynamic, vital relationship with Christ. Christ being the absolute focus. So here's another warning, just for good measure. You know what? We could cling on to something from the past and end up with just the form of it in our hands and no vital power, no life. It could be an empty shell. It could be a great looking shell, but it could be empty. And the Lord's moved on. And we're holding on. Oh, this is so precious. Wow. Remember when the Lord challenged me on that? Now, please don't misunderstand. And in our broader context today, this aspect of drift, we are now reaping, if you like, things that have been sown many, many years previous. So if you think of the way God speaks, okay, Christ, the living word. Well, his character, his identity is being challenged here, there and everywhere. Even fundamentals like the virgin birth, like the resurrection. This has been going on for years. Challenged. What about the Holy Scriptures? The inspired living word of God. Challenged. People are seeking to erode away the fundamentals. It becomes, yes, God speaks within the Bible. But it's not that the Bible is the living, inspired word of God. People are trying to erode it away. What about creation? Wow, that's a big one. The enemy is going full tilt against the fact that God is the creator and he speaks through creation. Now the little ones in school are already spouting that it wasn't created. You can go through those five and see how the enemy is contesting the word of God, and this process of erosion is occurring. We need to guard our hearts, don't we? And for us personally too. If this, I believe this with all my heart, that there is provision for us to walk closely in intimate fellowship with Jesus, even in this life. Now that's not to say there won't be seasons of dryness, there won't be seasons of great trial. That's not the same as having drifted. But if we drift, and it's very possible that we can, I've known in my own life sometimes, and thank the Lord, he's alerted me to it, and I've said, oh Lord, it might not be discernible to anyone looking on, but in my own heart, I've known there's been a bit of a gap, a little bit of a distance, maybe something left undone. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you can say, and this is the way the enemy works on these things. He comes in, oh, it's only a little thing, don't be too hard on yourself. It's only a little, I mean, if you want to call it sin, go ahead, but it's only a little one. It's not like major. Big ocean liner. Tiny alteration of the direction. You don't notice it when it happens. But I tell you what, a few hours down the voyage or a few days down the voyage, you're way off. That's the thing about angles, isn't it? Not great at maths, I'll give you that, but I know that like, Helen, you can talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it, but you're getting the point. At the point here, almost imperceptible, but you follow these two different, and you're miles away. Beware of drift. Take earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That's warning number one. Just turn over into chapter 3, please. And please forgive me for not going in too much to the context of the passage. I just feel I have to discharge these three aspects. The second one, let's cut in verse 7 of chapter 3. We had the context of this from Peter last week. Great, Christ as a son over his house. Wonderful. What a head of the house, by the way. Anyway, in verse 7, today, and here again, get the link between the hearing. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this is it. Beware, brethren. Beware. There's the warning. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. I love the fact the antidote's right here. Mm-hmm. Exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You've had this thing of drift, usually over time, a process. Here we've got, could have gone a few ways here, but essentially this is to do with deception. The deceitfulness of sin. I've been thinking a lot about this over the past few weeks. Remember in the garden, I know you weren't there, but you read your Bibles. Right back at the beginning. How did the enemy come to Eve? What was the line he came on? Think about hearing and the word of God. Ruth? Has God said? Did God say? Huh. That's amazing. For them, at the beginning, they were in relationship with God and they had the potential to move into the fullness of what he intended for them. They could have, we've heard this before, haven't we? They could have, if they continued with the Lord, hearing him, walking with him, they could have eaten freely of the tree of life. And it seems that the enemy comes in, not wanting them to be in the fullness of what God has provided for them. Ring any bells? And the way he comes, he's challenging, he's contesting the very things they'd heard. Did God say? The deceitfulness of sin is something really serious. We read in Hebrews later on, about running, it was interesting to hear. I like the fact that you're running, Heidi. I'm still thinking about getting back into it. I'm walking more. Eating more vegetables and fruit, which helps too. But hopefully I'll be there. I'm going to take that advice. Maybe that's been my issue. I need to pump my chest out, hold my head up high, and what do you do? I'll talk to you, Andrew. Isn't it interesting though in Hebrews, in this idea of running the race, looking to Jesus, well you have to look up, don't you? Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, glory to God, and in that context it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. The deceptiveness, the deceitfulness of sin. Beware. Beware. Seriously, the enemy is no laughing matter. He's out to destroy us. He's out to get us off track. He's out to trap us. He's out to ensnare. He's out to mess up. He's no respecter of persons. He goes even for the kiddies. Seriously, and we've got major issues in our society right now. Beware. Now, I don't mean that we have to walk around absolutely paranoid and on eggshells. Oh no, the whole thing's a disaster. No, you can walk with your head held high, but we need to have our eyes open. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it has a hardening effect. And again, similar to the issue of drift. The calcifying, the hardening. I don't know why I said calcifying. Thinking of teeth or something, I don't know. But the hardening effect, again, you don't go from softness to solidity, rock hardness in a moment, in an instant. It's a process. It's layer upon layer upon layer. It's this thing again. Beware. And this is in the context today. If you will hear his voice today, if you will hear his voice, you have a choice. You can harden your heart. You might not think that's what you're doing. But if we don't receive it and act upon it, slow, subtle, stealth-like work of the enemy in hardening our hearts, and we can become immune over time. You know what? I love it. I was saying to Chan, it just came to mind. You were preaching on the man by the pool, 38 years. And you made the link. It says in the scriptures that maybe there was something linked there with specific sin. You think 38 years, day by day by day, becoming more and more entrenched. Don't you love the fact that the antidote essentially is Christ? And though erosion may have taken place over years and years, an encounter with the living Christ can resolve it in an instant. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We were getting a little heavy. I love getting back onto Christ and the fact he's the antidote. But you know what? Sometimes we have to focus on the problem before we realise how wonderful the Saviour is. If we don't know that we're dying of a disease that's to death, we won't run crying out for mercy, for salvation. I remember talking to friends at work and I said, look, you're not going to like this. I'll be up front with you. You're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. And then I just hit them. I mean, there was an opportunity. It wasn't out of the blue. And then I just said, listen, friend, in all faithfulness, I've got to tell you, you're utterly lost. You don't even know it. You're so in need of a Saviour. What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, think about it. What you've just told me. And then it, boom, hit. We need to know. We need to know. And in his faithfulness, he convicts the world of sin and of judgment. And even this is to the people of God. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. Beware of the hardening of the heart. You know, we can sit even in a context like this, and we can be stone deaf. We're hearing it all, potentially, but we're not hearing it. Do you get what I'm saying? Thank the Lord that he's so faithful. Beware of drift. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. And here's the last one. I'm going to try and finish sooner than I normally do. Please forgive me for often taking it to the wire. I need help. The third one, if you just look over into, again, forgive me just jumping in, but this is, he's speaking all about Melchizedek. Do you love Melchizedek? Oh, you've got to love Melchizedek. I remember house group with Alan years ago, about 10, no, maybe 15 years ago, and we were looking at Melchizedek. Loved it. It was good, wasn't it? Whenever I think of Melchizedek now, I think of Alan and Linda's house, because I felt it was so enriching. We really got into it. We're not going to talk about Melchizedek this morning, but on the back of Melchizedek, in verse 11, I love the writer to the Hebrews, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. But it's interesting why he's saying it's hard to explain, because he says, because you've become dull of hearing. So actually the inference is, we can have good hearing, and things that may appear to be hard to explain actually can be explained, and we get it by revelation. We get it. The Lord speaks to us. Praise the Lord. Now he's saying here there can be this. This is the third warning. Dullness of hearing. Sorry? Chapter 5, yeah. Were you not there? Look, now you're all joining in. This is great. We have Maureen. Stuck her neck out, held her head up high. Then Dave jumped in. Now you're all getting into it. That's brilliant. Chapter 5. Anyone not clear? We're in chapter 5. Sorry. So this is chapter 5. Verse 11. of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Why? Because you've become dull of hearing. Here's the third warning. So we've had drift. We've had the deceitfulness of sin, deception, and here, dullness. Dullness. Now there's another word. It appears twice in the New Testament. And there's another word in the New King James, which is the same word in the original. If you just look over into chapter 6, verse 12, I'm almost afraid to say this word. It's a favourite of mine in a strange way. In verse 11, and we desire, this is chapter 6, and we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, keep on going, even though it's tough. And then he says, that you do not become sluggish. The writer doesn't want us, well, the readers at the time, but us too, to become sluggish. Now, that's a wonderful word, isn't it? I mean, just let your imagination go with that one. But it's the same word, actually. It's about this dullness. So link dullness of hearing and this idea of sluggishness. I don't know, what is it in the King James?
Slothful.
Slothful, yes. Anne's in now. Anne's in. Slothful. Slothful. Anyway, I'll let you think about that. But rather, and I love again, the antidote practically is there. The antidote is Christ, in case we weren't clear. But practically here, being in relationship with Christ, here the antidote to sluggishness or dullness of hearing, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, in order to keep on going, you have to keep moving. Now, you could argue that a sloth and a slug kind of moves, but they're somewhat hampered, I would have thought. We're not to move like that. And when we think of our hearing, the Lord has made it possible for us not to be in a position where we are suffering from dullness of hearing. Now, those are the three warnings. You could look more into those different scriptures, but I just want to focus a little bit on the antidote, and then if the Lord is speaking to us, I'd like us to actually do something about it. So what is the antidote to drift, deception and dullness? Apparently Linda spoke the other Sunday night on unbelief. Is that right? I wasn't here. Some of it was around unbelief. So what deals with this unbelief in the context of these scriptures? The big issue is unbelief. Disobedience. Well, we have a clue hidden in plain sight. Whispered out loud. I love that, don't you? In chapter 4 and verse 2. Again, forgive me for just rushing through the context, but this is about the people originally referred to, God's people in the Old Testament. It says, the word which they heard did not profit them. It didn't benefit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, I hope that's clear, that it's possible for us to hear, but actually remain untouched, unchanged, unprofited. Because it's not mixed with faith in those who heard it. So what's the antidote to drift, deception and dullness? Essentially, in a nutshell, faith. Faith. Jesus Christ, I love the fact that amongst so many other things, he was full of grace and truth. He worked in faith from start to finish, didn't he? Total reliance on his Father. He knew that he wasn't to drift from intimacy of relationship with his Father. He resisted the enemy when he came at him full throttle. And how did he resist him? It is written. Glory to his name. He countered the enemy. It is written. This is the living Christ speaking the written word at the time, which was the words from the Old Testament. Isn't that wonderful? He counteracted the enemy's full frontal attack with, it is written. Glory to God. No drift in Christ. No deception in Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 53. No deceit in his mouth. Isn't that the most beautiful description? These members, untold damage in this world. What we do with these, I'm talking broadly, humanity now. The things that are said, the lies that are propagated, the falsehood, the deception, the blasphemy, the filth. And here we have the antidote from heaven. Knowing it all, he comes down. And when he is right in the very heat of the battle, there is no deception in his mouth. Don't you just love him? If there had been an ounce, it would have been lost. Chan prayed earlier, you lived an unsullied life. Every word he spoke, every act he did, every thought he had, purity. He was redeeming every second that he walked this earth. From the moment of conception, he was redeeming, redeeming, redeeming every little choice. Glory to his name. Hidden away, every moment that's not recorded, every step he took, every word he spoke, every thought he had, he was redeeming us all, lost humanity. He did it. He did it from start to finish. He ran the race and he won. Oh, he won. There was no competitors. He took the prize. Glory to his name. Our Jesus has done it for every one of us. For all of the broken in this world. Don't you just want to sing his praises from the rooftops? Hallelujah. For me. For me. For me he died. For me. For me he bled and died. You say it to yourself. It was for you. It was for your neighbour. It was for all the lost causes in this world. Hallelujah. He's the antidote to drift. He's the antidote to deception. He's the antidote to dullness. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Faith in him. Faith is the antidote. Faith in him. How does faith come? We're all in it. Now everyone's joined in, okay? Romans. We're in Romans. Little clue. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by. Oh, yes, we've got it laid out nice and clear for us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's in the context of Israel rejecting and disobeying. And we have that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how are we to hear the word of God? With the hearing of... Bless the Lord. With the hearing of faith. And that's in Galatians. You can read it there. Read it. Not now. At home. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and 5. We have that phrase. The hearing of faith. The enemy is absolutely opposed to faith. He is wanting us to be in a position of unbelief. It's the complete opposite. And every time we hear the word of God, we are given a choice. Are we going to say yes and amen to the Lord? Or are we going to stay, if we are, in any way, even if it's apparently small, or just stay in that place? We can stand up, actually. Can I just take that illustration? And, oh Lord. It may have been something that's been going on for years. It may be something just from in the week. I'm going to lay it aside, Lord. I'm going to stand up in the light of you. In the light of all that we've thought of you, what you've done, who you are. I'm going to respond to you, Lord. This is part of the outworking of the hearing of faith. It's a big yes, Lord. Glory to his name. So let's respond, shall we, to the word of God now. Let's respond with the hearing of faith. Let's return, shall we, to the head of the house. If we need to, if we've drifted away, let's get close enough to hear his finest whispers and allow him to deal with any aspect of drift or deception or dullness, whatever it is. I'm not the one who knows all of this. I'm just giving you just a little bit of the word from the Lord. I believe he wants to say these things to us because he loves us. He loves us. He's a faithful father. Jesus is a faithful brother. And he wants us to live well in his house, in the fullness of his provision. Let's use that other illustration of the Lord pouring in. So let's be freshly filled with his Holy Spirit. Shall we? Let's let him rekindle fervent passion for him. Let's let him fill us again with a hunger for his word. Let's let him, if he needs to, rearrange our priorities. Let his face fill our vision, like we heard from our brother, so that we're looking to him, we're beholding by faith his face. Let's look away from every other thing, shall we? Glory to God. Let's pray. We've got some minutes. I'm going to read a prayer. I said I'd read it earlier. Let's just close our eyes, shall we, and focus on him. Though we can't see him with our natural eyes, he's here by the power of his Spirit. Bless the Lord. This is for any drifting ones. It may be you. It may be someone you know. Good old Amy Carmichael gives us a few words. Lord, some who listened all but came and touched thy garment's hem. The blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame. You know them, but they have drifted. Oh, do thou, whose love is never bound by our poor limits, follow now till they be found. Is that a prayer in your heart? Maybe for yourself? Maybe for some others who've heard and seem to have drifted? Quicken again. Pardon, Lord, my deadly dullness. Like clear shining after rain is thy bright perpetual presence. Father, quicken me again. Thou hast done it hitherto, do as thou art wont to do. Grant instead of deadly dullness, power and love and discipline. Shine, O bright perpetual presence. Father, lighten me within. Thou hast done it hitherto, do as thou art wont to do. I hope those prayers are helpful. I've prayed them this week for myself. Shall we respond? Now it's up to you. We're all heads bowed, if you like, and eyes closed, like I now sometimes say to our girls. We're in the presence of the Lord. We're dealing with him here in this moment, primarily. We're dealing with him. And if the Lord has spoken to you, if the Lord has spoken specifically, you'll know that. And you can respond with the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's possible for me to be in all that you have for me. It's possible for me to return. It's possible for me to be restored. It's possible for me to move into new things that you have for me. Because it's you, Lord, who's speaking and it's you who's calling. Glory to God. If you want to respond, you can. It's up to you. You can just raise your hand. We're going to pray, or you can stand up. However, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, bless the Lord. You're reaching out to him. Okay? You're reaching out to him. Oh, precious Lord, here we are. Reaching out our hands, Lord. Calling out from our hearts. Lord, you see the response, whether that's an outward demonstration of what's going on inside or whether it's just a quiet cry. to you, Lord. You read our hearts. You see our hands stretching out to you, Lord. We want to say that we're here today. In one sense, no matter what's gone before, though you know it all. Lord, thank you that you can deal with it all afresh in our experience at this point in our walk. Bless your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we stand against the enemy. We rebuke him. And we confess, Lord, that we're yours. And we want to run unhindered, Lord, unweighed down. Bless your name, Lord. If any drift has taken place, Lord, rectify it now by your grace and power and ability. Lord, bring us back on track, we pray, that we may run steady and sure, looking to Jesus. Glory to your name. If there's been any deception, Lord, of the enemy, any of this deceitfulness of sin, Lord, we own up to it. We come to you for forgiveness. Lord, we don't try and excuse it. We don't try and hide it. We don't try and belittle it, Lord. We just come to you clear and honest and real, Lord, into the light. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you that you're able to forgive and wash just like you did at the beginning. Totally clean. Oh, Lord. Bless your name. May your people know truly, in experience, the wonderful joy of the forgiveness of sins. The fresh cleansing, Lord, of your precious blood and the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh, praise you. Oh, praise your name, Lord. And any dullness, Lord, thank you that you are the antidote. Lord, we want to have good hearing, clear hearts, clear consciences, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Here we are, Lord. You see us. Hallelujah. Amen.